Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce Podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
Church, we have some powerful testimonies in the house today. Thank you. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11 that we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I believe very strongly that even as people have come to share their testimonies and we tap and we believe, you're also going to receive the same miracles and more. Help me welcome our brother Giovanni to share his testimony. Wow, Giovanni. Let's encourage him. All right, Giovanni, please introduce yourself to us.
My name is Giovanni Kakuako. My name is Giovanni.
Okay, Giovanni, what do you do in church?
I'm a photographer.
Okay, he's part of the photography. Giovanni, what has God done for you?
Okay, so this is a testimony I'm giving concerning the mid-semester exams. So I was preparing for a certain course and I didn't learn anything.
Mercy!
It's not like I didn't learn anything, but I didn't learn a lot. So I told the Holy Spirit to guide me and lead me to learn for the course. And he prompted me to learn some topics. You know, I spent a lot of time on some certain topics, but I wanted to move forward, but I was still spending time on those topics. And
he was telling you to learn this one.
I wanted to move forward, but I was still learning those two topics. Then the morning before the paper, I listened to Mommy's message, the prayer. Then when I went for the exams, and by God's grace, most of the questions came from the topics.
Exactly what the Holy Spirit had prompted him to learn. That's what came in the exams. Wow. Yeah. So what do you want to tell the church, Giovanni?
I want to encourage everyone that we should involve the Holy Spirit in whatever we do, and we should also take Mommy's prayers very seriously because they work.
Amen. Wow. Let's give it up for Giovanni. Wow. Involve the Holy Spirit. Someone should try and involve the Holy Spirit this last week of exams. And you also have a testimony to share. Let's help me welcome my sister Priscilla. I tell you, God is working in this house. Miracles, signs and wonders. Oh, please encourage her even as she comes. Oh, wow. Oh, Priscilla, please introduce yourself to us.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Priscilla.
Please, I'm Priscilla Boache from the Charisma Constituency.
Wow.
And I'm also a communion star.
And
I'm also a percentile leader.
Wow. So many things. Priscilla, tell us what God has done for you.
My testimony is about how I received academic favor through Mommy's prayers. So, some few weeks back, we had our oral defense for our midwifery project work. And the day before the defense day, I was trying to prepare and go through my work. And amazingly, that was when I saw a very huge mistake. I was so shocked because I read through my work severally before that day. So right at that moment, I became very scared and anxious. So I told my pastor about it. Then she was like, just test mommy, everything will be fine. So I went ahead to test mommy and explain to her all that has happened. Then she prayed for me and encouraged me that everything will be fine. Just relax, everything will be fine. So fast forward, the day was here and I went for the defense. When it was my turn, I had faith though, but some part of me was like, what if? What if? Because that mistake was so huge that it affected major part of the work. So I was like, no, don't be anxious, don't worry, pray about everything. So I just prayed and I believed in mommy's prayer also. So when I entered, I sat across the examiners and I was just looking into their faces. Then they asked me the first question. Then I was like, really? This is what you like asked me, and I was stressing myself like that.
Wow. So then, the questions were simple.
They were simple. Surprisingly, wow. They never asked me anything concerning where the mistakes were.
Wow. Church, you don't understand the testimony. You'd have been tapping by now. They didn't see any mistake in the work that she did. The major mistake that affected the whole work, they didn't see it. And they asked her simple questions.
Simple questions.
So what was the outcome?
So they asked me three questions. And I was so overwhelmed that I was over answering the thing.
Then, wow. Then somebody, you also be over answering the thing. Wow.
So she was like, "You, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine." Then I said, "Okay." Then at the end of it all, then she was like, "You've done well." Then wow. They were nodding their head, and some burden like laid off me because I was so like scared. So even though the outcome is not yet seen, I believe that God has done it already.
Amen. So, Pastor, what do you want to tell the church?
So, I want to tell everyone that if you are here, know that you are at the right place at the right time. And whatever that mommy tells us to do, take it seriously, especially her prayers. Thank you.
Amen. The prayers are working 24/7. Some of you were tapping, but when you have a problem, you don't text mommy. You better change.
Oh, put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, are you excited to be in church this Sunday? I think, mommy, when we are doing the ACs, we shouldn't put ACs this side because they are not happy to be in church at all. Are you excited to be in church? You know, how many of you believe that this is the best church? Yeah. No, as I was listening to the testimony, I was telling Kata and Ohima that I think that FOLC, we make God work over time. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, how many? My sister, the way you are nodding, you agree with me. Yeah, I agree. Hallelujah. It is a sign that you are in the right church. And it is a sign that you are being pastored by the right person. Because Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That is why every time she lifts up prayers for us, they always work. Oh, you don't believe it. Every time she prays for us, her prayers always work. Hallelujah. And this morning, you are about to be ministered to by the same pastor who has been chosen for us, who has been anointed for us. Put your hands together and help me welcome to the pulpit our pastor, our one and only shepherd.
Father, we are grateful for another day such as today. Thank you for all the miracles of the past week. Thank you for all that you have in store for us in the coming week. As we gather before your word, may we hear what you have to say to us. May our lives be changed in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to be in church this morning. Oh, yes, it's a blessing to be in church this morning. Just a couple of announcements that I think are important. The first announcement is that this Friday, there's going to be an all-night here. Amen. And I really want you to come for this all-night. It's an all-night marking the end of the semester. It's an many of you, when you go home, you backslide. You know, I think it's appropriate to come. Let's thank God for the semester, first of all. I mean, for the academic year. But let's also commit to Him what is ahead. Are you with me? Very, 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 very important. Are you there? Very, very, very important. You see, there is a proverb in English. It says that there is many a slip between the cup and the lip. I know, your English teacher died before you finished school. Yeah. I'll say it again. It's not in the Bible, but it's real. And I'm sure if I look in Proverbs, I'll find something close. But it says, there is many a slip between the cup and the lip. In other words, as you're about to drink your tea, are you there? Many things can happen in between that cup and your lip. Before it's such that you won't even drink the tea. And life is like that. So many times, there is a potential for something, and you don't even really see it happen. It doesn't come to pass. What has happened? Something has crossed it. Something has, yes. So come and let us just spend some time praying. Are you there? Let's do what? Praying, yeah. Let's just talk to God. Last Friday, there was some very powerful prayer time on Flow about the future. Yeah. Never assume that your future is as you are thinking it. There are too many unexpected, we don't control. Okay, if you want to know whether I control, please tell us what's happening 5 p.m. today. That's when you see that you have no control. Zero. You have your plan, but you don't have anything to guarantee that your plan will come to pass. Yeah. And when it's like that, you want to just make sure that you expose yourself fully to what God has for you. So 29th, that's this Friday, we're going to have an all-night that I'll be leading. Amen. All right. And then next week, Sunday, will be our last Sunday in the semester. Amen. It's our last Sunday in the semester. And we are going to have a joint service. I don't think we've had one this year. Which means that gospel encounter service, faith secret service, Chumbiase, word encounter and presence will all be here. Next week, Sunday. Are you there? A serious festival. Yeah, in the presence of God. So Friday, we come and pray. Sunday, we celebrate the goodness of God. Amen. Are you there? Many things you don't know about are going to happen. So just make sure you are around. And it will start at 8 a.m. So just take note of the change. It's not as if you come at 7 a.m. when it's 7. But you, so 8 a.m. we're going to be here. Are you okay? It is also the service at which we're going to be taking our forex offering. We'll do normal offerings, but the forex offering, those of us who believe that we want a life to travel, as a sign, we're going to plant a seed, and that seed is a forex seed. Are you there? Yes. Me, I go and I come because I planted a seed many years ago. And I planted another seed to encourage the seed that I planted. Yeah. Are you there? So I come and I go. Are you in the church? There have been some. I'm looking between September and December. I'm trying to offload some. Yes. Because if I leave it between September and October and December, I'll go through 5 countries. You are sure you want to tap, eh? You don't tap. Go and look for your forex offering and come and sow your seed. Don't bring yourself. Are you there? Yeah. I know some of you want to go and live somewhere outside. But I don't want to go and live. I like going and coming. I like going. My current argument with the person who books my tickets is that one country should drop. That's my current argument. Yes, because they want to add one more, and I'm saying, no, no, no. It depends on you. It depends on what. You see, that's why I said, come and pray on Friday. Come and pray. You don't know which prayer you will pray and put down. Or you don't understand what I'm saying. Before you are aware, God has gone to pick it and he's answering. Yeah. Are you there? So don't miss it. Don't miss it. I need to pray for you. I need to pray. Those of you who are going, who want to do further studies, correct country, correct, support. Hey, if you go without support, the suffering you suffer, you have not seen this kind before. But if you go with full support, you enjoy the country more than the people who are even there. Hey, tell your neighbor, we have prayers to pray. Hey, amen. Are you in the church? Yeah. Hallelujah. And you do your forex offering on Sunday and you put it down somewhere and believe God. Amen. Because an American who hasn't traveled is no different from a villager sitting in the middle of Begreboyo. So look, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, look, me, I'll be a traveler. I will know places and I will know things. Yeah. Oh, or you don't believe it. As you are saying, some of you are just, I said, tell your neighbor, it's a seed, oh, it's a seed in the Hallelujah. Some of you, you are the first international traveler from in your family. Yeah. Hallelujah. Anyway, let's come back home. We've been talking about a great change, isn't it? We've been talking about a great change. And I'm really believing God for change. And not change for the worse, but change for the better. It is fully possible to call yourself a Christian and not change. Fully possible. Fully possible. You know, and that's why I've been taking my time over these few weeks and we've been talking about, we don't even just want a change, we want a great change. Yes, it's okay, it's true. You have stopped smoking weed, hopefully. But there are more changes. You remember the change that we have seen in Apostle Paul, a murderer who has become a preacher. It's a very drastic change. Are you with me? A very, very wild change. And it changed his whole life. And we are looking for a change. Hallelujah. We've been on it for a long time. Principle number one, after you're born again, a great change will come into your life if you grow up spiritually. Can you tell your neighbor, please grow up? I mean, I have been a bit sad looking through. I've been looking over the academic year and I've seen some of you that, Charlie, I mean, spiritual growth, it hasn't happened. How do you know? Because as you is, so you are. As you were, so you is, and so you are. That means she's a sign. Yeah. And it's a pity. You need to grow. You need to grow. After you're born again, a great change will come into your life if you renew your mind with the word of God. Can you ask your neighbor for me, do you own a Bible? And get an answer. Is the answer yes or no? If the answer is yes, there's another question. Can I give you the next question? If the answer is yes, ask the person, is your Bible a naked Bible or a properly clothed Bible? Do you know what a naked Bible is? When you open the pages, all are the same. All the writings are the same, black, everything. The sayings of Jesus are not in red. There's nothing. It's just, if it's a naked Bible, you are not a serious Christian. Because you cannot use a naked Bible to study anything. You see, some of you, even when I say ask the question, cry, you are looking straight like you don't have a neighbor. That's my answer. You have already answered. And if you don't have a Bible, I have only one statement for you this morning, that there's a game in your eyes. You are joking. Hey! Because how are you going to know anything if you don't read your Bible? How are you going to know? And if you don't have a Bible, you're not reading it. I can guarantee you that the Bible on your phone, you don't open it much. Ajay. Are you there? Let me see Psalm 19 and verse 7 for a moment. Let me just see. I can't remember why I put it down. I'm sure something occurred to me. Let me just take a look. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord, that's the word of God, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So the conversion of your soul is in the word. Are you there? It's in the word. Now, principle number 3 was very closely tied to number 2. And it says, after you are born again, a great change will come into your life if you listen to a lot of preaching. You see, preaching is the word you are preaching. Are you there? Hey, this morning, did you come to church? If you listen to a lot of preaching, are you there? Preaching. The Bible says that it is God who has ordained it that by the foolishness of preaching, man will be saved. Please find me my scripture, Christian. The foolishness of preaching. Why foolishness? Because me, if I was God, I would be sending thunder and slapping people. Or you don't get it. If I need you to do something, I need a change, you'll be there. No, some thunderbolt has knocked you. Because I think that is powerful. I mean, we'll all obey, oh? Oh, thunderbolt, will you not obey? Or some canes, will you not obey? The Bible says that, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that really believe. Because you see, the preaching, it looks as if it's just some words that somebody is saying. Somebody has decided to have a topic, he's giving the topic a name, and he's moving around talking. So it looks very foolish because many other things seem to be or they appear more powerful. Are you in the church? It seems more powerful that we'll do something physical. Arrest somebody, throw him in jail. But I need you to understand that preaching accomplishes what handcuffs does not accomplish. It accomplishes what all the words of your father, your mother shouting. It hasn't changed anything. But preaching has accomplished it. What all the threats have not done? You see, some people say that, oh, education will accomplish it. It's not true. It's not true. I want to give you an example. If you want a guaranteed means by which you will not get HIV, what do they say? What do they teach you? They teach you abstinence. You learned it in school. Have you abstained? No. Clear. Clear point. I don't need to argue again. I don't need to argue again. It's through education. They told you that the guaranteed way, abstain. But look at you. Virgins are less than 10% in this room. Pastor, how do you know? I'm only reading the room by my spirit, that's all. Yeah. A virgin is a rarity. It's a strange thing in this generation. Yet, education told you that if you don't want to have HIV, you want to be 100% sure, abstain. So I came to tell you that it's not the education that you are doing that's changing your life. That's why you have people who have gone to the height of education and yet... rabble, character, nothing. Yeah, because education can help you to do a number of things, but change that is caused from the inside is not part. It's not part. Are you in the house? It is preaching that has that power. That's why when Jesus came to this earth, many things were not on this earth. He didn't start any school. He didn't put any school building up. Can you show us a school building from Jesus' time? He did not build a single hospital. When he came, he said, I have only 3 years. These 3 years that I have, let me do the most important thing that can be done. What did he do? Preaching, teaching, healing. That's all. Then he left. Matthew 9:35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Those are the only three things that he did. Only three in all the things that can be done. Your education was not part. Your healthcare was not part. So if I don't have any time, what is it that I will focus on and do? The thing that will change your life is the preaching. And the devil knows it. And that is why it's during the preaching you start to feel sleepy. It's during the preaching that you have a phone call to answer. It's during the preaching that you are answering a text. And you are asking me to stand there and be watching you. I will not. I will not help the devil in his work. Are you there? Yeah. Jesus just preached. He just taught. That's it. Word of God. If he needs a change. When he was leaving, he left 11 plus one man. I'm saying 11 plus 1 because of his 12, one had died. And then he was replaced. If you think about the madness of it, you want to change an entire world, then you find 12 people and you give them the world to go and preach. It doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make sense. But did they succeed? We'll come further into that. Yeah. Are you in the church? You see, that's why I'm very wild when I'm preaching the word to you. I mean, I'm all you have. There's no other preacher here right now. And then you only come to church on Sunday. And when you come, you don't even apply your mind to the preaching. Then your whole mind is on something that's happening somewhere. How will anything proper happen in your life? And then when we are finished and we say we are pouring oil, then you have come for oil. What you don't know is that the Bible says that the word is life. It doesn't say the oil. It says the word is life. Without the word, nothing, nobody. Even the oil needs a word spoken about it for something to happen. Are you there? So you need to understand that preaching is something. Acts chapter 8. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ. That's all he did. He only preached. The preaching made the people believe. The preaching brought healing to the people. The people brought joy to the city. You are there looking for politics to solve your problem. No wonder your issues are still as strong as they are. It cannot solve. It never solved a problem anywhere. Whether it's in America or where it doesn't solve anything. They have used their politics, their governmental systems. They have made beautiful roads. They have made schools that work. They have made hospitals that work. The people are even more miserable than we are. The first thing I noticed as a student when I went out, I said, I thought Ghana, because in those days, Ghana was on its, we're flat on our feet. Didn't have anything. When I got there, I went to school in one of the wealthiest countries in the world. I've not seen unhappiness like what I saw there. I've not seen more depressed people than what I saw there. Meanwhile, a student there is more wealthy than your father. No, it's true. I mean it without even, the average individual there is wealthier than America. You people think Americans are at the top. They are not. One day they look, they say, Charlie, the money that we have nowadays is disturbing us. They shared the money. For every individual in the nation, everybody got about $27,000. Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. You haven't seen anything. I'm going to you. Don't bring yourself at all. There's nothing there. They share it. I was a student, a married student. When I had my first child, they paid me money. Every month. When I had my second child, they gave me more money than the first child. I didn't beg for it. I didn't steal it. It was my right. On top of that, I was working, but I was doing my PhD. I told them, they asked me that your maternity leave, how long do you like? Do you want? I said, okay, what is my choice? They said 3 months, 6 months, 8 months, 12 months, or 2 years. You be there. She said, wait, I'm in interview. I should sit in the house and look after my children. America, they don't even get 3 months. And when, by the way, when they get the 3 months too, they don't get paid. Let me go back and stick to my topic. No, because I'm telling you, because you don't know. You're walking around thinking that if I don't go to America, I'll die. And I'm telling you that there are better nations, just that they are smaller and they don't talk as much. Please, we were talking about Philip, were we not? And I'm saying to you that with everything that they have, yeah, happiness no day. Happiness no day. It is preaching of the word. That's what changes something. Are you there? The joy that Samaria had was not because of money. It was the preaching of the word that brought it. Let me go on to principle number four, otherwise I will not. The reason why I'm going over it is because many of you, when you came to church the last time, you didn't hear anything. And some who came 2 weeks before that cry, you are forgotten, because your mind is like a, when it comes to the word of God, it's like a sieve. After you are born again, a great change will come into your life if you change your friends. I want your neighbor to give you the name of a friend that they have moved away from since this preaching came. Who has left your life? From the middle to the back. Do you speak English? I said, who has left your life? Hallelujah. And last week, we were on the fact, on principle number five, after you are born again, a great change will come into your life if you fellowship a lot. Can you ask your neighbor how many times they fellowship? When are they in the gathering of the believers? Are you a once a week person? Are you a once a month person? If they tell you they're once a week, once a month, I'm no wonder you have not changed since I got to know you. When I see some of you who are in the fourth year, who are living in almost in the same way spiritually as when you came, you are all once a week church goers, once a month church goers, twice a month. No wonder nothing has changed. Tell them about fellowship a lot. Fellowship a lot. Fellowship a lot. That's why we have a lot of different services, so that you can fellowship a lot, different types of things. I am a church girl. I am not ashamed of it at all. I am a church girl. I go to church. Everywhere that I am, I go to church. If my church is not there, I will go to the next possible church. Yes, 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 yes. I'm a church person. Can you ask your neighbor, you are a who person? A who? A who person? A who person are you? Do you go to church? Or you go only at clubbing and occasionally to church? Or you only sleep in your room? You are asleep in. Charlie. Hallelujah. But today I have another word for you. Principle number six. After you are born again, a great change will come into your life when you are ensued by the Spirit, or you are endued by this with the power of the Holy Spirit. When you are endued by with the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49 says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. You know, what God promised us was the Holy Spirit. He didn't promise us money and those things. He didn't make a lot of promises. The thing that Jesus told us he would send us was the Holy Spirit. Are you there? And if you're going to change, we need the Holy Spirit. You see, sometimes we think that it's enough to be saved. It's enough to be saved. But I need to tell you something. You're giving your life to Christ. What it does is to save you. Yeah, it doesn't change you. Oh, you don't understand? That's why after you give your life to Christ, sometimes the devil comes to convince you that nothing has changed. Because it's like so many things are the same. So many things you shouldn't be doing. So you are saved, but you are doing them. As an example, let us look at the lives of Jesus' disciples as he walked on earth with them. You can see that they walked with him, but they didn't change much. Hello? They enjoyed walking with him. Do you remember when they were vying for position? Who's going to sit by the left and the right? Are you there? Please ask your neighbor, are you also these Poskaya people? You see, you could see that they've not changed. They still had the same kind of competitive evil spirit that is there. They still had it. Peter, every day he was talking, couldn't control his mouth. Every day. Small pressure came, no? He said, I don't know this man. When Jesus was under his tribulation, all of them ran away. This is after being with him for 3 years, after seeing healings, after seeing the dead, people raised from the dead, after seeing all those things. And lots of things didn't change. They were essentially the same kind of people. When some people wanted to bring children to Jesus so that, go back. Same. They were saved, but they didn't have something. Are you in the church? So you can be saved, though. But Charlie. And that's actually the battle some of you are having now, because you are saved, but you don't like the word of God. Just like how when you were an unbeliever, you didn't like the word of God. You didn't like preaching. Are you there? You are still following anything in a skirt. But you are saved. I'm just hoping that you are understanding something. Then, so that was why the instruction that Jesus gave to them was ahead. He started from Luke 24, but he said it all the way to Acts chapter 1. The last thing he said, you people, wait here. Wait here, because you need some power. It's the power that will help you to change. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have said, I'm stopping something? But Charlie, the stopping was not stopping. Yeah. You are battered down. You are almost depressed. You see? It is not that you are not willing, oh. So it's the power you need to stop. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. You see, Peter was running away from, the reason why Peter is an example is that when Jesus was being arrested, all the others were quiet. It's Peter who even removed his sword and cut off the ear of Zongaivi. And he had told Jesus before that, look, whatever, wherever you go, whatever you do, I'm with you. Oh, if even everybody falls, me, I will not leave you. So I want you to know that this was what he wanted. That's what he believed God for it. But when the time came, just like you, he said, this pornography thing, I've stopped. What is this? What is this? I don't need this in my life. I've stopped. Until the next temptation. Until the next time the site pops up on your phone. Until the next time your friend sends you something they should have no business sending. Are you with me? Then you just see. So that's what happened to them. So they were saved, but there was a certain change that had not come. When they got the power of the Spirit, they suddenly became different people. Suddenly. Are you here? Suddenly they were no longer afraid. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible tells us that Peter and John had gone preaching. They had arrested them. They had beaten. The whole scenario was not good. It was not nice. Me, I would have gone to pray, Lord, don't leave those men who beat me. Lord, can I? Nothing like that. When they came among the believers and they came to pray, Lord, just give us boldness. Give us boldness. Just give us boldness. That no matter what they do, we are here. We are going to do it. And they did it. And they showed that Jesus was not out of his mind when he said, go and win the world. As we are standing here, I'm telling you that they succeeded. Because when Jesus was leaving, your forefather was not there. But you are a believer. How did you get the message? Thomas, afraid man, who said that he's doubting, he doesn't think that Jesus, had returned. The entire part of southern India is Christian. And the person who brought the gospel was Thomas. Up to today, in the middle of Hinduism, in the middle of a government that's saying that they will crush it, and put, there's Christianity there. Not only they're thriving there. Recently, one of my friends said, our recent elections, we have collected all the seats in our area. Only Christians are in them, which is a major achievement over there. Major achievement. Yeah. That's Thomas's inheritance. He preached there. You have got the gospel, have you not? When they landed in Ghana, the thing called road, we didn't have. They came and they built their own houses with their own hands. So as you are coming, you don't have any landing point. Yeah, but they came. Why? Because they had been endued with power. Power. Before that, they were just ordinary men and women. But when the power came, a change came. Some of us, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to work in us. Yes, you are familiar with the Holy Spirit to a certain point. You pray in tongues, you this, but now you need His power. It is a power that you need to have to resist the enemy. It's power you need to have to do what you need to do. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. And until the power comes, you will not change. Are you in the church? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He changes us to what? Have you ever thought of it? What is he changing us into? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Are you seeing the scripture? But we all, with open face, beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into what? The same image. He changes us into the image of Christ. The same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. We are changed to look like Jesus. I want you to ask your neighbor, please. Exactly how? How did Jesus look? How was he? I need you to see the things he said. You know, that's why you should fall in love with the word. Because when you read the word, you begin to see how he was and what he expected. I cannot read the whole of Matthew 6 to you, but let's see if whether we can see one or two things in Matthew chapter 6. You know, you see that he was a certain kind of way. In fact, Matthew 6 will not even give us all the points we are looking for. But, you know, Jesus was a kind of person. He lived what he said. Yeah. He lived what he said. He was very strong in the word. Look at it. Take heed. Let's go to the NLT so that it's a little easier. This is Jesus. These are the things he did, and he was telling us to do them. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. That's not the reason. Because you lose your reward from your Father in heaven. A lot of Jesus' miracles, his most potent miracles, were done in private. Yeah. The raising of the dead girl, it was in private. Many were in private. When you give to someone in need, so in other words, give to somebody in need. But don't do what the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and calling attention to their charity. This is Jesus. Verse 3. If you are giving to somebody in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Meanwhile, you have been posting it on Facebook or putting it in threads. Verse 4. Give your gifts in private, so that your Father who sees everything will reward you. 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly. Some of you, you don't pray in your room. You don't pray anywhere. When we come into the church, that's when you start, Kabaya, so that we say that Charlie, the brother is so jaw, he's so jack. The guy, he's on fire, fire. But in your room, nothing. No quiet time, no nero. Verse 6. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Ask your neighbor, when last did you go away by yourself? Father, I'm convicted. But this was Jesus' habit. He went away often just to go and be with the Father. Hey, I'm just showing you the image of Jesus. And so when the Holy Spirit begins to change us, he changes us into the image of Jesus. Hallelujah. I am reminded of a certain story. Now, this missionary went to a certain country. When he got there, he was not able to learn the language. He thought he could, but he wasn't able to. And without being able to speak the language, I don't know how you preach to the people. He tried preaching. It was not working with the half and half language. So, as he was there, he decided that he would just be with the people, intermingle with them, and help where he could. So, it was a farming community. Farming time, Charlie, everybody has to go to the farms. He'll be there with the children. He'll look after the old people. Your person is sick, he'll come and pray. He couldn't tell you about Jesus. The man prayed and he cried. Things were not changing. And he spent many years of his life there. Eventually, time was up. And he went home brokenhearted, feeling that he had failed, feeling that what he had been asked to come and do, he had not succeeded. He had only lived as a Christian in front of the people, but he couldn't share anything with them. Many years later, 5, 6 years, 7 years later, a couple came to settle there, a missionary couple, and they understood, they could speak the language, so they began to preach. Are you there? And they said, we want to tell you about Jesus. They began to speak. He came because he loved the world. When he came, he gave his life. The people said, we know somebody. We know Jesus. He came, he prayed, he healed the sick. Hey, we know Jesus. When he came, he loved the people who didn't have. We know Jesus. Everything the missionaries will say, the people say, we know him. We have met him. Ah, Jesus, he lived with us. He was here with us. He couldn't say anything, but he stayed with us. 7 years, 8 years, we know Jesus. The missionaries realized that something had happened. And they asked, what are you talking about? And they said, there was a man who came here. He couldn't communicate with us. But all the things you are talking about, he did them. Jesus came to be with us. The missionary said, do you want to receive him? Hey, we will receive. We will receive. Why not? The entire village gave their life. This is a documented story. What I'm telling you, it's not a story. It's a history. It's a known fact. Yeah. Are you here? In other words, even without words, the man had preached the gospel, helped by the Spirit. So now when those who could speak came to now come and explain the thing, the people began to understand because somebody had lived it in front of them. My question to you is that you in your room, does your roommate, does she know a little more about Jesus because of you or less? Your silence is nice. Can you ask your name? Who are you a picture of? Because some of you, by your behavior, are a picture of Sasa Bonsam. Just by your behavior, we can see what is moving you. Hey! Are you in the church? I'm just talking to you about the Holy Spirit. Tell your neighbor, he's changing us to look like Jesus. Changing us. And honestly, if you have been a Christian for some time and the Holy Spirit is working within you, you see the changes. Yeah, you see the changes. Share with your neighbor one thing that has changed in your life. One. And your silence is the sign that, Charlie. Hey! Hallelujah! Tell me, I think I've changed. I can see the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, me, I can see it. I used to have an extremely fiery temper. Oh, yes. If you come too close, you will get bent. Not that you might, you will get bent. That's for sure. And nowadays, I look at some of you and your antics and I say, They'll come and they are reporting you to me. And I say, forgive them. And I know that, Charlie, I have changed. This morning, I've been blasting some people on my page. And when I look at my blasting cry, I say, this blasting cry, I'm wondering him. The church is very quiet. Yeah. I can see the effect of the Holy Spirit in my life. Oh, yes, I can see it clearly. Clear one. Are you there? You too, what's the effect of the Holy Spirit in your life? What's the effect? Am I talking to somebody this morning? I'm not saying that we have arrived. Don't misread me. You see, because the Bible says that now we know in part. There will always be a part of us because of our humanness. That's not correct. But what I'm saying is, can you not see the power of the Holy Spirit, something that is brought in? Some of those of you who stand up here, then you are singing. Today you are standing, you are ministering, but you used to stand there like wawa board. It's true or it's not true? You stand there thinking, is my hair okay? Hey, are my shoes okay? Is my dress okay? But now you are standing there. What was the song you were singing today? What? Yeah, you are standing and you are ministering something. You have forgotten your hair. I mean, you did it in your room. You haven't come to suddenly. No. And you are ministering. Yeah. The Holy Ghost is working through you. Talking to us. You are very quiet. Many of you think I'm joking. But I've been somewhere before. And I was listening to something. I said, I've missed my choir. And I sent the MD. I said, when I return, I want them to sing. Because it ministered to me. Yeah. Are you in the church? Some of you guys who are dancing, when you started dancing, you used to end every dance. Hey. It's true or it's not true? Hey. But today it's like, let me minister through what I'm doing. The Holy Spirit is working. It's working. Are you in the church? He's changing something. You CPS people. Tell the truth. You are on some ways, people. But nowadays you are in church, you are ministry. I say, hey, Charlie. Tell your neighbor that, listen, the power of the Holy Spirit is helping me. Not just his presence, but his power. His power. Somebody here, you have not fornicated. This semester, you have not fornicated. Charlie, go and write it down and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. You know, sometimes when you've never had a certain kind of problem, you don't understand what it is. Yeah, you don't understand what it is. So for somebody who had a problem with fornication and he's been able to go through an entire semester, managed to overcome, because not that the temptations were not there. Even in his classroom, the girl sitting by him is a temptation. But Charlie, I want you to push your neighbor and say, neighbor, I know you are saying I'm some way, but I want you to know that actually, I'm actually changing. Me cry, I'm actually changing. There's somebody here the whole semester, you've not quarreled with your roommate. It's a whole something. Hey. They don't understand what I'm saying, no. If you are here, you are a Gan or you are a Dagumba, those two tribes, we have a quarreling spirit. So you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. To go through, no quarreling. No quarreling. No quarreling means, it doesn't mean that there was no provocation. It means there was provocation, but you managed not to create a beast about it. Hey, tell your neighbor, I'm changing. I'm changing. I'm changing. Somebody, you used to dress with the dress of a harlot. Excuse me. It is a term in the Bible. It's a term in the Bible. Yeah. When the Bible is describing a stranger, it says that the dread attire of a harlot. Yeah. But the whole semester, you have managed to comport yourself. You've put aside those your somethings, you know. You have been planning that when you get home, you wear it. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will continue to work on you at home so that you don't backslide in that direction. Hallelujah. Somebody used to feast on unbeliever music. This semester, you have not done so. From now, the flavor, the taste of unbeliever music is out of your mouth, cry. Oh, I want you to tell your neighbor, I'm changing. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm changing. I want you to rise to your feet this morning, and I want you to begin to thank God. Begin to thank God this morning. Thank him for his power. Thank him for his power. Me, I'm thanking him, pal. Hey, the way I was when I was getting married, somebody said that they give us 5 years with divorce. By the power of the Holy Spirit. This year is 38. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You know, wait, oh. It's not just you can be mentioning the number of years. There are people who, by this time, they are just tenants in the house. We are not there. We are not just tenants. We like ourselves. Hey. Yeah. The Lord helped me to sit on my gangways. By the Holy Spirit. Yeah. By the power of the Holy Spirit. He has given me a nice home. Oh. The Holy Ghost is just nice. Are you in the church? This morning, you want to talk to God and say, Lord, thank you. The scripture says, with open face, we are looking at you, Lord. As we look at you, the Holy Spirit is changing us to be like you. Talk to the Lord this morning and begin to thank him. Begin to thank him. Begin to thank him. Oh, just lift your voice up this morning.
Oh, yes, Lord, we thank you.
In thanksgiving to God.
We thank you.
And say to the Lord, what is remaining to be changed? Let the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, come upon me to change it. Oh, Lord, I am a work in progress. Please don't stop.
We thank you for the power. Oh yes.
Jesus, for changing us. Thank you for the power of your Spirit. Lord, you know there's so much more to change.
Thank you for all you've done so far, but let your power rest upon us, the power of your Spirit, that the changes that have been done, let it happen even faster, more thorough, deeper. Help us, Lord, to be like you. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, we cannot speak about being affected by the power of the Holy Spirit unless you have received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You are here this morning, you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let me see your right hand lifted. I want to pray with you. Oh yes. You want to receive Jesus this morning. I don't want you to look at your friend, but just come. I want to pray with you this morning. If your hand is up, let someone help you to come. Just stay with what you were singing before. I want to be your vessel.
You walk the room.
Father, we are grateful. God bless you, and as you come, we want to just pray. I want to pray with you, my dear. Come and stand here. And as you're praying, I want all of us, just make this prayer your prayer. All of us, we're helping. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. Please wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from my sins. Please write my name in the book of life. Lord Jesus, from today, you are my Savior and you are my Lord. I thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the presence of your Spirit, that today your Spirit marks this one out as your own. Be with her, empower her, teach her who you are, and help her in Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIUDIASE. God richly bless you.